into the driveway of a small two-story house with a flat roof. The other vehicle stopped along the road. Men from the second Humvee got out and approached, opening the back door on Brooke's side. Rough hands reached in and ripped her out. She shrieked, calling out for help. Then it was Caleb's turn. Both of them were being led to the house, Brooke digging in her heels and trying to make herself a dead weight. The third soldier grabbed the edge of the Humvee door to close it when Dale got the message that this wasn't his stop. They had other plans for him. In one quick motion, he swung onto his back and thrust out with his legs. His heels connected with the door, sending the soldier next to it flying backwards. Dale shuffled toward the opening, struggling without the use of his hands. Captain Lee reached back to grab him and missed. Dale wasn't sure what he was going to do if he made it out, but he had told Brooke they would stick together, and he intended to keep his promise. No sooner had his feet reached the cracked surface of the driveway asphalt than he noticed the soldiers in the third Humvee charge out with their weapons drawn. The brigade grunt he'd knocked to the ground struggled to his feet and swung a fist into Dale's exposed belly. Dale doubled over in pain, bile rising in his throat. Then the passenger door opened, and Captain Lee moved in, cracking him in the head with the side of his pistol. Explosions of light bloomed before Dale's eyes right before he collapsed. "You're lucky I don't put a bullet in your head. You made a lot of people very angry, Mr. Hardy, men who want to see you suffer." A pair of hands reached down and helped Dale to his feet. But the new face he saw approaching didn't belong to Captain Lee. It was a man with a bandaged hand and a maniacal grin. Someone who was oddly familiar.
"Don't try to resist, Mr. Hardy," this new man said, his Spanish pronunciation of Dale's last name sounding more like Ardy.
He wasn't in military fatigues like the others, but wore a pair of dirty jeans and a black T-shirt embossed with gold lettering. He was clearly one of Ortega's men.
"They call me the ventriloquist," he said in his broken English, "and I specialize in getting stubborn men like yourself to spill their guts one way or another."
They shoved him back into the Humvee, Captain Lee in the front. The ventriloquist pushed in next to Dale, grinning with a mouthful of discolored teeth. If Dale had hoped for a quick, clean death, he knew now he had been sorely mistaken. Chapter 2. They drove for close to an hour, first past the border and into Mexico, and then south along a dirt road which led into a sun-baked valley. The Humvee bounced around, chafing the flesh on Dale's hands, still zip-tied behind his back. A dull ache in his stomach served as a reminder of where that grunt had buried his fist. But neither of these minor discomforts were bothering Dale nearly as much as the sinking feeling that he would never see his loved ones again. That was because Captain Lee and the ventriloquist had failed the first rule of interrogation and of poker. By neglecting to blindfold Dale, they'd tipped their hand that his chances of making it home alive were zero. The Humvee might as well be a hearse, because he was being driven to his grave. Beside him, the ventriloquist picked at his teeth with the tip of a pocket knife. Dangerous business on a bumpy road, Dale thought, but the torturer's hands were steady. Whenever Dale was sure an approaching depression would bury the blade in his palate, the ventriloquist always seemed to pull his nimble fingers away at the last moment. Damn. Up front, Captain Lee fiddled with the knob on the walkie-talkie and called out in Spanish. For a moment there was no sound but the tires cutting across the dirt road and the thud of the suspension going over uneven ground. Living this close to the border meant that over the years Dale had picked up a few words of Spanish. Not enough to engage in any meaningful kind of conversation, but enough to know when someone was talking about him. The reply over the walkie was sudden and curt.
"What is it?"
"This is Captain Lee. We've captured the leader of the resistance, and we're heading to the holding location now. I'll report back when we're done." Dale knew full well what that meant. But there was something else Lee had said that caught his attention. He'd called Dale the leader of the resistance, which clearly wasn't true. Dale was a landowner, a homesteader of sorts, tired of having his rights encroached upon by a crooked local government. He'd stood up and said, "No more." He hadn't intended to inspire anyone.